Welcome to Perfectly Imperfect, the podcast for high-achieving perfectionist women struggling to see their worth in motherhood. With me, Rhea Oliver, owner of the Maternal Wellbeing Foundation and emotional health coach and therapist for anxious mums. I believe that when a woman truly finds herself in motherhood, it is often for the very first time in her life. Only then is she able to shed the weight of expectation, conditioning, judgment, and her worth being tied into productivity. And that this is one of the most freeing journeys a woman can go on. So join me while we delve into being perfectly imperfect and step into being uniquely you in motherhood. So I'm going to start this episode by putting a trigger warning out there because we are going to be talking about birth trauma and pregnancy loss. So if that is feeling like something that's a little bit too sensitive or might be triggering for you today, please feel free to skip back over the previous episodes or to tune into next week's one. So part of the services that I offer is birth trauma resolution, which is an 8-step process to help women and sometimes men and birth partners to recover from their birth experiences. So I have worked with many couples now over the years where the mum has come out of her birth experience feeling relatively positive and the dad or the birth partner has come out of that experience needing birth trauma resolution support, because no two people experience the same thing in the same way. Now, what I see a lot of as somebody who specializes in working with perfectionist, people-pleasing, good girls is how birth experiences don't always link into physically what happens. It's not always about the unexpected interventions or the baby getting stuck or unexpected emergency scenarios or unplanned C-sections. A lot of the time, if not all the time, the trauma will come down to the emotional experience you have as part of what is going on. Now, with perfectionism, there are so many more other layers that go on top to the way that you process your birth experience. And it's all about how you feel emotionally about it. Now, as a perfectionist, you will know that you've got a really strong desire to feel in control of things that are happening in your life. However, birth and motherhood are largely outside of that experience. Yes, you do have influence over the way that you can feel within your birth experience, the way that your hormones change within your birth experience, the way or how relaxed your body is. And you also have some influence over the health and well-being of your baby and your children as they are growing, but you don't have full control over those areas. So particularly with birth, you don't have full control over your experience. Your midwife or doctor also do not have full control over your experience. So as a perfectionist, you can go into it already apprehensive about what is going to happen. And if I don't feel in control, how am I going to feel throughout this experience? And it is that thing that can have such a huge impact on how you emotionally respond to anything that might be deemed to be going off of your birth plan. So because you want to feel in control of things, you've got a really strong need to be able to do it right. So a lot of perfectionists I'll see, they're high achievers, they're successful, they've always been the one to get the perfect grades, the good job, to move up the career ladder, to do all of these things. Then all of a sudden, it comes to pregnancy, birth and motherhood, and there's no guidebook. There's no 10 out of 10 for effort. There's no medals and rewards being handed out. There's no real way to ever even know if we are doing it right. And winging it feels like a really scary option. Although, I mean, hand on heart, I would say I am still winging it through motherhood and I'm 9 years in. And I think everyone is, because we are learning as we go. As a perfectionist, you want to know all of that stuff up front. You want a plan A, a plan B, a plan C. You want to know all the variables. You want to stay in control at all times. but you're in an unfamiliar environment doing something you have never done before, where there is no guidebook and there are no parameters around do these things and this is the outcome, or do these things and you get a different outcome. So you're having to think on your feet, and you're normally somebody that is 10 steps ahead. You want to know exactly what's going to go on at all given times, and that is not the way that birth works. Now, that need to want to do it right means that you can often have such a specific image in your head about the way that you want your birth to be. However, because you're used to catastrophizing and second guessing and doubting yourself, you'll also have 100 other images as to actually what you expect birth is going to be, which will usually be really negatively focused. But this one specific image, I want to feel in control. I want everything to go as well as it possibly can do. What that means, if we set ourselves up in that way, and unfortunately there are a hell of a lot of antenatal classes that will help you to be that specific about what you expect for your birth experience, which long term doesn't help, that any deviation from that, this is what it looks like to be in control and for my birth to go right and by the book, any deviation from that feels like a complete failure. And therefore, the emotional response within that experience is huge. As soon as you think, well, this wasn't part of the plan, now all of a sudden you're slipping into those belief systems. It's because I'm not good enough, I'm failing my baby. You know, I'm not a good enough person. I should have read more. I should have done more. I should have done that extra antenatal class. And then also what you'll tell yourself is if I'd made different decisions, it would have impacted the outcome. And because I didn't make those different decisions, I am responsible for this birth being a failure. That is such a heavy stick to beat yourself with. So that deviation, if it doesn't go exactly according to plan, it means I failed my baby, I failed everybody else, I failed the whole experience. And now you're in motherhood, early motherhood, particularly as a first-time mum, trying to find your way, figure it all out. You're sleep deprived, your body's aching and changing, your hormones are all over the place, and you don't have time to process any of this stuff. And unfortunately, our NHS system also doesn't have the resources to be able to support you through that transition. Now, before we delve any further into that side of perfectionism and birth experiences, I wanted to tell you a story about, on a personal level, where I'm coming from when I talk about these kind of things. So I am a mum of pregnancy loss. Back in 2015, I lost my first baby at 7 weeks, 7.5 weeks pregnant, and it was the most traumatic and difficult experience I would say I have ever been through. Pregnancy loss in that first trimester is something that we are all aware of. Everybody worries about it, don't they, leading up to that first scan, because you just don't know what's going on internally. And I lost my first baby and I was absolutely devastated. And I know, oh, it's giving me goosebumps just thinking about it. I know only too well how easily at the time, because I didn't have the tools and the training, the experience that I have now, how quickly I fell into, I've let my baby down, I've let my husband at the time down, I've let my family down, like the overwhelming sense of responsibility about everybody around us that had already bought into the idea of us having a baby, letting them down. It was huge. The overriding emotion of letting my baby down, who I'd never met, I will never know if they were a boy or a girl. And all these years later, I still think of them. I still wonder, when it rolls around to when their due date would have been, like how old they'd be now and what they would be like. And I always felt like it was going to be a girl. What she'd be like, you know. And those things just don't leave you. So I know from personal experience, you know, not from a birth trauma point of view, because I've been fortunate enough to have three really radically different but very positive birth experiences. And I'll talk about those in a little while as well. But from a pregnancy loss point of view, how much I beat myself up over that perceived failure. My body failed me. I failed my baby. I failed everyone else. It was a word that was part of my vocabulary for such a long time. And I threw myself into testing my body after that because I felt like, you know, I remember saying actually out loud to people and often to myself, I had one job to do in this life and it was to have a baby and I couldn't even do that properly. So that, oh God, just the sense of dread over it. Obviously at that time, being it my first baby, I didn't know if we were about to embark on a really difficult fertility journey. Maybe I can't have babies. Maybe this is not going to be part of my future. And all of these worries and doubts come in, which is, again, just a way, you know, at the time I was a perfectionist, people-pleasing, good girl. It was a way of me trying to gain control over a situation, to worry about all of these what-if thoughts all the time. Because I couldn't control what was going on right now, which was me losing my baby. But I wanted to try and then control the future. What does this mean? Is my body working in the way that it's supposed to? Is there something wrong with me? Could I have done something better? And it's that inner storm that happens. And the more that I told myself that I had failed, the more that became my truth. And that made for a really difficult few weeks, months after that loss. Now, I was lucky enough to fall pregnant again relatively quickly after that. So my loss happened in the January. I was pregnant again in the May. What it turns out, for some strange reason, is that I bleed every time at 7.5 weeks. So the three babies that I had after that were all healthy full-term babies. But that 7.5 week mark brought a sense of loss every time, because the bleeding would start. For my first baby, that meant the end of my pregnancy. For my three subsequent ones, it just meant we'd gone through a bit of a stressful blip. Luckily, touch wood. So that truth that we then hold about these things, like this is the way that things should have been. This is the image that I had in my head about the way that things were going to be. Our first baby coming into the world, and when the reality is then so different, actually I've now lost that baby and I've let everyone down and I feel like a failure. That is so hard as a perfectionist, people pleasing good girl to process that loss effectively while I'm busy beating myself up for all of these things that I tell myself every single day. And this is what I now see time and time again in birth trauma sessions that I'm working with clients. I work with a lot of IVF mums as well, who are still going through those difficult fertility journeys. And because of those sticks we beat ourselves with, even when they get to a stage where they've got a pregnancy that is viable and working, and they've done the 12-week scan and the 20-week scan, and they're starting to count down towards labour, they still feel in a place where they're like, I'm not deserving of this. I'm not, you know, after all of these losses, who am I to now have a healthy and happy baby? And they often don't believe that that is even going to be possible until that baby is in their arms, because the beliefs and the feelings from the difficult journeys are so strong and overwhelming. So back to birth experiences then, when you have got habits like perfectionism and people pleasing and the good girl complex, you do have a strong need to be in control. But pregnancy, birth and motherhood are pushing your boundaries and stepping you outside of that and making you feel like you have no control over things. You want to be 3, 5, 10 steps ahead all the time, preempting everything that might happen. But you're not always able to do that in pregnancy, birth and motherhood without constantly being stuck in a state of worry, thought and anxiety and stress, which is not good for you or the baby during pregnancy, birth or motherhood. You want to be able to do it right, whatever that right might look like for you. You want to preempt every single scenario, because those habits are the habits that keep you safe in daily life. But birth can be a completely different story. Antenatal classes can teach you how to stay calmer. But they don't necessarily teach you how to let go of your need to be perfect or your need to be in control or your need to catastrophize about all those worst case scenarios. And if we're not dealing with both ends of the spectrum, and again, I say this as a previous antenatal teacher, I started my world when I went self-employed after having my first in antenatal education. So the courses that I used to teach were very different. It wasn't just about stay calm and relaxed and breathe your baby out. It was about what are your fears and worries, and let's tackle those now so that they're not present during your birth experience. Because you need to learn how to let go of control within birth. You need to be able to harness the influence that you have over your hormones and your body and your baby and everything else. But if your need is still there to be in control, the way that you emotionally process that birth experience is going to be so different. So most birth trauma clients that I work with, like I said before, it's not about what physically happens. In fact, a lot of my trauma clients, their trauma comes from postnatal care on the wards, the way that they were made to feel, the way that somebody spoke to them, the care or lack of that they had when they're in a really vulnerable position. So it's emotionally about how they feel about their experience, whether that's how you feel about pregnancy loss or how you feel about difficult IVF journeys or how you feel about pregnancy as a whole or your birth experience or the way that you enter into motherhood as a new mum. It's your emotional reactions to all of those things that create the traumas. Rarely is it about changing from a vaginal birth to an unplanned C-section. That process in itself can happen to lots and lots of women, and it can happen to lots of women in a really positive way. There are lots of women that I work with from an emotional health and well-being point of view that have had unexpected intervention and unplanned emergency scenarios and their birth plan gone out of the window, but they come out of it feeling really positive because emotionally they were in control. Emotionally, they were in a good place, which meant that they could deal with those changes in a much easier way because their emotional response towards them was so different. So their trauma can often come from how they were made to feel, not being listened to comes up all the time. Feeling out of control, not having a voice, being overlooked, feeling like they're being sidelined. Whilst they're in one of their most vulnerable positions in life, whilst they're probably naked, like most women birth with no clothes on. So you're naked, you're vulnerable, and now you feel like you're not being listened to by the people that are there or should be there to support you. And that is where a lot of that trauma comes from. And a lot of that trauma also will stem from, a bit like me, those belief systems that I'm not good enough or I'm failing at this. Because it's not going perfectly, it means I am failing. And the way that you speak to yourself in those moments solidifies those truths. It's not like, oh, okay, this has gone a bit differently to how I expected, but, you know, it's okay and I know it's in our best interests and everything actually is still going really well. It's things are going off the birth plan. I've already told myself a million times before I even got pregnant and went through a birth experience that I'm not good enough and I'm failing. And now that's being re-triggered right here and right now in an experience that is meant to be one of the best experiences of my life. I am not good enough. I am a failure. And those words will have such a huge impact on the way that you process that experience. Because if your version of doing it right is being in control physically of what happens, we're not in control physically. You can have control emotionally, then things are going to feel different and you're going to beat yourself with that stick. So all of those emotions, the emotional responses you have to that experience are internalized and they back up your perfectionist habits. I am failing because this is different to the way that I thought it would be, where I imagined myself being physically in control of everything. And you come out of birth feeling like you have failed. Now, I have worked with many, many women in birth trauma resolution. And I worked with a client not so long ago who felt not listened to, like she had failed at having a good birth. She told herself she had let everybody down. And she was also, as a perfectionist, people-pleasing, good girl, she was the class A student. She was the successful one. She always did things right and by the book and was mindful of other people's experiences and emotions and opinions and judgments and all the things all the time. And now she had all of those difficult emotions and feelings in her hands as part of her birth experience. And all she could do was blame herself and tell herself that if only I had done more, if only I had done a different antenatal class, if only I had read more books or listened to more podcasts, then the outcome of my birth experience would have been different. Do you see the language that perfectionists use all the time? I am not good enough. I am a failure. We talk as though these things are a fact. They're not a fact. They're a set of thoughts and feelings that you have that you've told yourself so many times, they start to feel like they are your truth. And now in birth, you're saying, if only I had done more, the outcome would have been different. We don't know that. We don't know that. You could have made a different decision. You could have read a different book. You could have gone to a different antenatal class. You could have done all the education that you possibly could have around birth. And things still change, or the outcome still be the same. But when we tell ourselves it's because I failed and I made the wrong decision and therefore the outcome was difficult, again, that's another stick that you're beating yourself with when you don't know if outcomes would have changed at all. You're never going to know. But that perfectionism side of you wants to have like that false sense of closure over a situation. I'm going to blame myself and I'm going to tell myself that this is another thing I failed at and I should have been better and I should have done more. And now that's become a whole other belief system for me. The thing is, though, with perfectionists, that even if things had gone to plan, would you still look for a reason to find fault? Because how many times have you planned birthday parties or family get-togethers or days out even? And even when you're like, oh, things actually went okay today, how often do you go, but I still could have done this. I still should have thought to bring this thing with me. There's always an element where you will look to find fault because you're backing up those belief systems all the time that you're not good enough. It's so hard as a perfectionist to settle into that was good enough. Everybody's happy. We had a good day. It's really hard for you to look at it through those lens, so you'll always find fault. So even if a birth does go sometimes the way that you'd imagined it or largely to plan, there's always going to be something as a perfectionist where you'll say, but this could have been better. I could have done more. So we want to be able to take those, like I was going to say rose-tinted glasses, that's not the right term for this, but we want to be able to take that lens off and say, we need things to be good enough. That was good enough. I know that I did my best. It might not have been the outcome I wanted. It might not have been the birth experience that I had imagined, but it was good enough. Things went well, and allow yourself to settle into things actually just being okay. And this is where sometimes with birth preparation, antenatal classes, the way that they are not enough, because we don't equip women always with the right tools, because it's not enough just to be calm and relaxed. We have to deal with these worries and anxieties and habits and traits that we've got as well. Otherwise, they can take over during a birth experience. And with pregnancy, birth and motherhood, they are likely to trigger whatever hasn't been resolved or processed as part of the rest of your life. Motherhood has an amazing way of bringing things to the surface that you thought that you'd buried or dealt with or compartmentalized. So anxieties, fears, doubts, phobias, worries, anxious habits like perfectionism will likely be set off because of the strong beliefs that you hold to be true about who you are as a person. That when you're now going through pregnancy, birth and motherhood, where things feel largely out of your control, there's room for those things now to come up to the surface. All those other experiences where you felt out of control are now coming back up to the surface. So I wish women could get emotional health and well-being support even before pregnancy, I'd love it if, as part of a postnatal package for at least the first 3 to 6 months, you had emotional health and well-being support. But really, we need that before we even think about having families, definitely through pregnancy, so that we're not left trying to deal with it once you've become a first-time mum or a third-time mum, and now you're looking after a brand new baby and your other kids and doing all these things and working and everything that we're expected to do now as women, and also have the time to process all of this stuff and this emotion that comes up. It feels unmanageable. If we could get to that place first, so that your IVF journey feels easier because you've already dealt with all of the other stuff, so that your pregnancy feels easier, your birth feels easier, and motherhood, then all you have to do is focus on motherhood. Life would be so much easier. Women need birth preparation and mental health support and well-being work to create a whole toolkit that is going to help you deal with what needs to be processed and let go of long before birth ever happens. And not because we're not capable, because I know with a perfectionist head on, you're going to be like, but I should be able to do all of this stuff. Who said? Who said we should be able to do all of the stuff we have to do as women and all of the stuff we have to do as mothers? And we're also the first society of women that are being told you can have it all now. You can be a great mum. You can work full time. You can run the house. You can do all of these things. But we're not going to give you the support system or affordable childcare. And we're definitely not going to ask your partner to step up in any other way. Their role is still very much you go to work, you come home. It's too much now. So needing that extra support is not a sign of failure. It's not a like, well, I should be able to do it on my own like everyone else seems to be. Everybody else is just making the best of a difficult situation because we don't have that support fractured, ill, structured into our transition into motherhood. You should have that whole toolkit so that you can process and let go of all this stuff long before you start a family. And a toolkit of how to manage during pregnancy, birth, and how to manage finding your feet as a new mum within a new world and a new role in postnatal life. First-time mums have got it the hardest because it is such a massive transition, an identity shift. Your whole life changes. With every other child you have, you go through that same set of changes, but you've got a new child where you now have to parent them in a different way to the way that you parent your eldest and your youngest. And it is a constant. Women are on a constant treadmill of transition and change, but without the toolkit to be able to manage that in any way. So it is no wonder, or actually, it is quite an achievement, I think, that women wing it so flipping well, and we figure that stuff out, and we get up day in, day out, when we're tired, when we're ill, when we're exhausted, and we keep on doing it, even without that toolkit. But imagine how much easier life would be if that toolkit was there. So, as I said before, trauma comes from how you feel about what happened. So if you have dealt with or are dealing with birth trauma, if it's not triggering for you, think back over that experience and really notice where that trauma comes from. Because it's probably not from physically what happens, but emotionally the way that you felt about it. It's a feeling of being out of control that hits you. And as a perfectionist, that out of control feeling is even bigger than it is for people without perfectionist tendencies. That trauma sparks emotion. And as a good girl and as a perfectionist, you have been so good at masking your emotion. And now it sits at the forefront of everything you do. And that doesn't feel like a safe place for you to be. And you either get lost in it or you struggle emotionally, but you get really good at masking it because, dear Lord, you don't want anybody to see that you appear to be not coping, because that would be another sign of failure. Or you might slip further into productivity. Let's do all the things and go to all the baby groups and be out at the park all the time and do all of this stuff. And you constantly keep yourself busy because as a perfectionist and a people pleaser, you're trying to hide how you're feeling all the time and make yourself feel more in control or certainly appear outwardly to other people like you are. Like, she's all right. She's getting out and about. She's meeting people. She's going to all the things. But we're not going to dig too deep because she's probably masking a hell of a lot of stuff. You want to feel worthy again. You want to show people that you're coping and that you're on top of it all. But on the inside, things can feel really different for you. And those feelings get overwhelming. And then you get scared and you'll shut down further into productivity. And you'll mask it even more and you'll do more and you'll be more to distract yourself from how you're feeling. Because there isn't the time and the headspace necessarily to deal with all of this stuff alone. And you've not got the toolkit, because we don't prepare women in the right way for dealing with what you go through. Even with a straightforward pregnancy, birth and motherhood journey, the identity shift is still huge. And people still need tools and resources to manage that. So what can we do then with birth trauma support that is actually going to help you? We can't change the experience that you had, but we can change your emotional attachment to it now. Now, a lot of people can get scared, like, well, if I am able to disconnect from the negative emotions, does that mean I'm going to forget my whole birth experience? Absolutely not. What it allows you to do is let more of the positivity in, those little moments here, there and everywhere that actually did go to plan and felt really nice and were magical and new experiences. We can change the beliefs that you took on board about the experience and about yourself. You can learn to let go of perfectionism and people pleasing and your good girl complex habits that will help you to see your birth experience in a new light and help you to enjoy motherhood in a new way. And we can change how you allow that experience to impact you in day-to-day life going forwards. And I do all of this through my 8-step birth trauma resolution program, where we unlock your beliefs, we help you manage your thoughts, we reduce the real-time stress, anxiety and worry you have about the experience that you had. We build your self-esteem back up. I help you disassociate from the negative thoughts around your birth experience, which helps you reconnect back into those positive moments. I help you to let go of those feelings of failure and all of those big heavy sticks you beat yourself with every single day because it didn't go to plan. I give you a whole toolkit to help you change your perception and mindset around your experience and who you are as a result of that experience, so that you can build healthier habits for you and for your family, because this work has a ripple effect. I've had many clients that I have worked with on a one-to-one basis through birth trauma that have gone on to have happy, healthy pregnancies and really positive birth experiences, because change is possible when you've got the toolkit to be able to deal with and stay in control emotionally over the experiences that you have had. So if this is a journey that you are on and you have been looking for that help and support and you've had no idea where to look, who to turn to, or if it's even possible for you to overcome the way that you feel, just know that it is and you are in the right place. And please do drop me a DM or an email if you need support in this area. And I would be absolutely honoured to support you through moving beyond that birth experience and to a happier, healthier version of you. Thank you for listening to this episode of Perfectly Imperfect, the space for perfectionist mums wanting to find their worth and themselves in motherhood. If you have enjoyed this episode and want to find out more about my services or how I can support you, find me on Instagram at Maternal Wellbeing Foundation or drop me an email on Rhea@thematernalwellbeingfoundation.com.